People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg with my co-host and friend Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Happy belated Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you, and you too.
It's, you know, amazing because this time of year you end up really feeling the push of the end of the year, the season, if you will,
yes.
Right? There's so many things happening from, right. You know, Black Friday sales and people traveling all
Cyber
over.
Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday, local business Saturday. Who's going
Giving
home
Tuesday.
For, so-and-so's traveling home for 3 weeks, you know, going. Yeah. So-and-so's going back to India with their family for 3 weeks. And it's really a crazy time of the year from here on out.
Yep,
you know,
it is.
And it's the first weekend in December, and it is going to get more hectic. And then, obviously, after New Year's, things slow down a bit, mm-hmm. and everything gets back to the core of, like, I need to start exercising more. I need to get on a better routine. I need to change my life.
I know.
You know?
I've been trying to change my life for a lot of years. It still hasn't worked.
Yeah, well,
it's so much for the New Year's resolution for
I
me.
Know. I feel like every year I'm about to change things, and I don't. But no, it's part of life. You know, you go through these cycles. It gets too busy to think about life, and then all of a sudden you start to realize I got to make some changes, whether it's for, you know, getting in better shape or working out more or being nicer to other people, New Year's resolutions. but for us, it really, nothing changes in the show except that, you know, we've been targeting certain areas on People Helping People, which let me just say from the outset of the show, for those of you who are new to us or new to this, every week we try to bring in a different topic or bring in a different person in some cases to talk about different issues and problems that are facing the community both here in the Bay Area, in India, and really all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to tackle the issues that most affect those in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain areas that we've really excelled with this show. I think where we've really gotten some serious...
You brought a smile on my face, but I can't say it on there.
Really?
When you said excel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. But in the other areas, we've been really trying to build and grow the program.
Yeah.
Excuse me. One of the areas is, for example, is veterans. We really, really care and want to help local veterans that have fought for the country and that are really struggling to get back into the real world. And we just haven't had success.
No, and we've tried, which is really, I mean, we both complained about this. You know, it's just really hard to try and get somebody to be on the show. I mean, we could even have them lined up, but then we don't hear back.
Yeah, and we've gotten through to certain people.
Yeah.
And then they've said, oh, yeah, we know somebody. Get in touch with this person.
Right.
And that person will talk once or twice, and then they disappear. Listen, a lot of cases, I understand, it's just that people are overwhelmed with life and busy and such. But we want to help. We want to find out what we can do to get involved. There's a lot of homeless veterans all over the area.
Oh, yeah, a ton of them.
There's a lot of veterans that are just dying to get jobs. They're disabled, and they just can't find places to work, or they have nowhere to sleep. They have nowhere to eat. We've heard these stories over and over again, and we just want to get involved. I would say, for somebody who's listening right now that might be able to help in some way, if you're a veteran or if you know a veteran or if you're friends with somebody who knows a veteran, maybe they will be able to give us some information as to where we can help, who we can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
The local veterans associations in San Jose, I know they're pretty overwhelmed and busy. But is there somebody we can reach to directly? We ask you because we really want to find the inroads to get to those people and bring that topic to the air, because I think it's something that really would mean a lot to a lot of former soldiers that are just struggling to get back into the real world.
You know what I thought about doing? I've done this before for the show, is, you know, physically go to a Veterans Administration office.
Right.
And meet with somebody, just, you know, cold call.
Yeah.
What did they call it?
Yeah, cold call.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to do.
You know, you think we've done episodes about PTSD, and I know that's a huge, huge issue with veterans that struggle with what they went through and what they've seen. And post-traumatic stress disorder, it shows itself in many different ways. It could be because they were away from their family for so long, and they you know, maybe you know, miss their children and their wives, and then what they saw, what they witnessed, friends dying, you know, people who became very close to them not making it through, watching destruction, having to maybe take the life of another when they don't really understand why they were doing that. There's many ways that it can show itself.
There are.
And more than we can even mention, because we don't know, having not lived through it and experienced it.
True.
So we've done those shows, and one of the areas that it kept coming back to is that PTSD is something that affects not only just veterans, it affects people in all different walks of life. It could be a car accident you had that you can never get over. It could be a bad time in your life that created the PTSD. But it's a topic that brought us back to veterans, and somewhere we would love to help. And I really don't think we've ever had the opportunity to take the lead on that the way we want to.
Yeah, definitely not.
And there's other areas too. I can't think of any off the top of my head where we've really attempted.
Tried and not gotten through.
We've done. We think about all the topics we've covered on this show.
Yeah, but we haven't even, you know, it's just the tip of the iceberg.
It is.
You know that.
But I mean, but yet there's been hundreds of categories.
Yeah, we've covered a lot. Sure, we have.
One of the areas that we've really covered in the past, and I think you'll be seeing more, and that you were talking about this today, of the Downs.
Yeah,
which is
syndrome.
Syndrome that is close to home for you.
Yeah, very close.
And something you care very much about. Mm-hmm. And we've taken many different approaches at that subject. Mm-hmm. And we have somebody who we're going to try and bring back onto the show. Bring onto the show next week, I believe, or maybe the week after.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, Bill O'Day is his name, and he's affiliated with Silicon Valley Down Syndrome Network here in San Jose. And I contacted him, and I actually spoke with him this morning. So he would love to be on the show. So he's going to be in studio, hopefully within the next 2 weeks or so. We're going to try and get him in here. Mm-hmm. But his eldest son, I can't remember how old he said he was. I thought he was in his 30s, if I'm correct.
Right.
Has Down syndrome. And he, just like the girl I used to date, her daughter, she's doing something constantly with her daughter, always. And so is he. So they're always on the move, always involved, always trying to bring awareness to the community for obvious reasons. And so not only is he work, I guess, full time, but he's very busy with his son. They're very dedicated people. Mm-hmm. If you have somebody in your family that has Down, I know how that is, and it's a wonderful thing to have that connection with your child. But anyway, we're going to have him on the show, and he's going to have a lot to say about what he does and how we can help in that community.
What was the other thing you were talking about? Even there was the other lead you had that you
Salvation Army, and they've been on the forefront with the fires, and they always are.
We're going to talk about in a little while. By the way, we're going to give you an update, because we've covered that show two straight weeks, and we want to get back to some
Of the we're going to kind of give you the last.
But the Salvation Army is another one that comes up at this time of year. You hear that name a lot. You'll see them standing outside.
And they I actually when I was probably 9 years old, when my parents got divorced, we drove up to Vegas for my mother to get the divorce, and we actually lived in a Salvation Army, I don't know what you call it, housing.
Encampment or something? I don't know.
It was a group. Housing. It was just a big room with a bunch of cots, and everybody slept in the same room.
Like a shelter, almost?
Yes, we did. So, and they do that a lot. They help the homeless a lot. You'll see them out there with their kettles. I just gave yesterday. There was a young lady.
You'll see them outside of every Safeway.
Yeah, everywhere.
Really almost every store.
Yeah.
You'll see, they'll jingle the bells.
Yep. And all that money goes to help people. I mean, it could be a myriad of things.
Salvation Army is a great organization.
It is. It really is phenomenal. So, yes.
It's nostalgic, too, when you know it's the holidays around here in the United States.
They've been
States.
Around for over 100 years.
I remember when I was a kid. We used to go to the store, and we used to go visit my family in the Bronx, New York, for Christmas, and there was always this Woolworths. I'm not sure if you remember.
Sure, I do.
Woolworths.
Yeah.
And we used to go to Woolworths on Christmas Eve for whatever reason. We'd always stop in, or the day before Christmas Eve, and there would always be the guy with the bell, ringing the bell in Salvation Army. So it always reminds me so much of Christmas. I can't really explain
it. It's true.
But they do great things, and they really were a big part of the fundraising and the donations for the campfire that happened.
Yeah.
But like you said, I think this time of year, it's nice to bring people in, organizations that are helping others.
Yeah.
There was a thing I was just telling Larry about this local organization that's basically helping seniors, and they're having people sponsor seniors, people that have no family and are in a nursing home or in hospitals that just don't have anybody around the holidays. Yeah. And this is sort of like you get them a gift, makes it feel like they have somebody who's looking after them.
Yep.
And giving them the sense of family and friends and love around this time of year. So it's another area we'd like to, it's another thing we'd like to promote on the show. Got to find out a little more about that though.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago when was it last week we did
we've done in the last 2 weeks.
We did shows about the campfire right up in
Paradise,
Northern California.
Yeah.
Up by Paradise. Yeah. And really affected the whole Bay Area with air quality for a couple of weeks there.
It was really bad.
I'm still affected by it. I think that is what gave me like this. I've had this sort of lingering cough since then.
I can tell.
But it was crazy what we were seeing, and it's gone on to be the state's deadliest fire. We already know that.
Yeah.
But we were talking about different places you can donate and get involved for the past couple of weeks. So I wanted to give you an update on this for those that have not been updated. After 2.5 weeks of destruction, it is officially 100% contained, but the search for remains threatens to push the death toll over 88, which is where it stood on 88. They're thinking there's definitely more as they search the rubble. Obviously, in a fire, sometimes it can be very difficult to find remains because, sometimes.
Especially with the rain we're getting right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. But they reported what they believe the remains of 2 people yesterday, but it actually was the remains of 3 people. So the number is almost at 90. It's destroyed 14,000 homes, 514 businesses, and 4,265 other buildings, covering 153,000 acres, which is roughly the size of Chicago. That is crazy.
That puts it into perspective.
And Chicago is a huge city. But they did say it was completely contained as of Sunday. It doesn't mean the fire's out. It just means they contained it. It's been cut around the entirety of the fire line has been cut around the entirety of the remaining blaze, preventing it from getting to other trees and fuel, which is the key. That's what they mean by containment. Mm-hmm. It's not out. As of last Sunday evening, the uncontained portion of the fire was along this terrain that was unsafe for firefighters because of the rain, but that's been since handled. More than 2,500 people are now accounted for. 249 people remain missing, which is down from just 1,000 people just a few days ago.
So that's way down.
There is a public list of missing people, which you could search online. And they're offering to swab the cheeks of immediate relatives in hopes of identifying those lost in the fire. That's scary.
So that's DNA.
Yeah. The rain did help in a lot of ways, by the way, because they really were, I can imagine. They were really concerned. But part of the effort to recover remains that gets affected by the rain. But it made things easier for the dogs that were searching for the bodies. It also complicated the search efforts, but it did help. But anyway, so that's where we're at right now. Now, I always say when you're looking to help, sometimes you can be helpful. You could be trying to help and actually doing less good than you wish to. For example, in some cases, people were sending food. And maybe they had plenty of food. So you're sending food and you're really trying to help, but it's not doing much. Some people say, I'm going to send clothes. I have plenty of clothes. I'm going to send clothes. And what they need is gift cards so they could have families, go out and buy what they need. So they're saying gift cards are always the best way to go because they can use them for Lowe's, the Home Depot, Target, Walmart, those types of stores. People start rebuilding their lives.
It makes sense,
But I would go online and search and find out what is needed. But the Salvation Army, as we mentioned earlier, is a good place to start.
It really is. Yeah, and they're all over the place. They're just their locations are everywhere. Very convenient if you want to get a hold of them. So.
And Butte County, if you go online and search for the Butte County Department of... Oh, I wish I just had it up. There's a specific place you could go to, and they'll tell you what they think people need.
Oh, okay.
More than anything, Butte County Fire. I just had it pulled up, and now it's. I unfortunately closed it. But they can give you the right information as to what you need to give and what you need to do to help the situation as it is, where there's closures, where to avoid, best way to do. Here we go. Let's see if we can find this here. So we got, they're accepting material donations at now, but they prefer new items.
Right.
The county also asked donors separate clothes by gender and size so they can be distributed faster to people who need them. Still, cash and Visa gift cards are the most helpful. They continue to say that. They say people are definitely pulling through locally, especially within the community, but it's easier if they're able to pre-organize. So when you're separate
sure,
everything
yeah.
for them, and then they'll figure out where they best belong. Now, that was only 4 days ago or so. But a lot of charities are running out of space for donations because people were just looking to help, you know, and it's sadly, you think about it, but like, you know, you want to do something, but sometimes they're like, this is just too much for us. Apparently, they need blood. Of course, that's always a big one. Donate blood. So you can go locally and give blood. They always say that that's for even if it's not during this time of year. If it's not about the fire. And, you know, people want to replace their possessions. So I think that's why gift cards are always good. Shoes, food, household items. But cash donations are the best. Red Cross has said that cash and gift cards are always the best.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, people want to help. They just want to get involved and do something. And I think you could do that hastily and not really have the right thing. So it's like you're almost wasting your money and time.
I have a question.
Sure.
And I don't know if you've run across it yet or not, but I haven't seen anything. So we know that there's 88 souls or 89 souls now that have been killed. What about injured? Has it said anything about injuries?
No, it doesn't have anything in there about injuries.
Really?
I'm sure there's a whole slew of those.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
It has to be.
It really is interesting, though. We've spoken about this for 4 years. How something can be such a major story, right? A topic that everyone's talking about. You can't escape it. It's on the news every day. They're talking about it at work. You go to the supermarket, they're talking about it. This fire was that.
It sure was.
Right?
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden,
I know,
it kind of falls away, right? Now, life happens that way because other things take precedence. You know, there's other fires close to our feet. Terrible. Yeah. Thing to say at this, but there are. I mean, there's things that happen that have become priority and things fall to the back burner. But for the people that are up there living it right now, it's anything but far from their minds. And it is all they're thinking about. Mm. We kind of move on, right? Because other things come about. We had Thanksgiving and then there's rain now and people are, you know, concerned about getting wet when they leave the house. And then you got to worry about the end of the year stuff, finances, going to the dentist. And then some other tragedy will happen, you know, and that pops up. And then that becomes the story of the day. But it's important to remember that although it might not be in the news every day and it might not be the first story you hear in the morning, it's still a very, very big problem. And I have a feeling, and a terrible feeling at that, that we're going to see a lot of these over the next coming several years. And this is going to become part of our reality. And it's how we help each other and how we band together as a community that's going to get us through these times and pick up each other, because this time it wasn't us here in the South Bay, but it could be next time. It could be the South Bay that's affected by something. And those people will be the ones to have to help us.
Well, you remember when we had, what was that, really bad rain two or 3 years ago? And parts of San Jose were flooded and people... You
that's
know,
right, the really bad floods.
A couple years ago. Yeah. And those people were, a lot of people.
Those were awful.
Yeah. couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
But yeah, but and then you think earthquakes. You know, you think earthquakes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that could happen at any time.
Yeah.
Without any warning.
This is true. And it does. It always
mudslides, right? Mudslides. Like just a little rain like we've had these last couple of days. It's rainy season, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was rainy season. I thought February was.
It's not rainy season. This is not a rainy season. It doesn't typically start until December, latter part of December.
Nate, who obviously grew up here, told me that this is rainy season. And I said, I thought it was January, February.
No, it ain't.
Well, he would argue.
Because we get a lot of sundowners in November. You know, it's like Indian summer. We get a lot of Indian summers in November.
Wow.
Our real official rainy season is not November. He forgot a lot.
Well, it's almost.
Sorry, Nate.
It's December now, so remember that.
It's not. Yeah, that's right.
It is.
Gosh, it's just so, Thanksgiving.
So technically it is rainy season then. He was right. You were thinking in the past, my friend. Not unusual for you.
No.
It's not. But things take priority. I understand that, you know, obviously you can't sit and sulk and ruminate on things forever. But don't forget that problem still exists. And
yeah,
there's still smoke in the air up there. And there's still
definitely
houses that have been burned to the ground. And people without those are thousands and thousands of people that no longer have a place to live or any material things. Imagine losing everything you have. Overnight, everything you own is gone.
Yeah, no.
Imagine that. I mean, I can't even fathom how life would change, how nothing else would matter at that point, right? You wouldn't worry about anything more than just how you're getting through that day.
True.
How do you go back to work? How do you go back to celebrating birthdays or holidays? You can't. Yeah. Nothing else matters than what you're trying to rebuild.
When you think about it, you know, I mean, that was a town that was self-contained.
Yeah.
A lot of people were employed by that town.
That's right.
And so they don't have anything they can go back to.
You're right.
Period.
And I always fear for, you know, the elderly in these cases who just don't have much as it is and they don't have family or people that are by themselves, you know, like having to rebuild your life with no one there with you or people that lost loved ones in this fire. You know, you shouldn't lose somebody in a fire. You think, how can they not have gotten out? How could they not have escaped? But I'm telling you, just sometimes you simply are in the wrong place at the wrong time, an explosion. Or maybe you're asleep. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you don't have you're physically incapable of getting out of the house.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons.
There are, and this happened way too fast. It just happened, you know, because of the winds I was just describing. You know, Santa Ana winds or sundowners. I mean, they blow. They can be hurricane force.
That's right.
Typically, they can wake up to get up to speeds of 70, 80, 90 miles an hour.
That's unbelievable.
It is.
So where you've been around for a lot of these fires, right? Because you're from the state. Mm-hmm. I'm not. So this has only been a couple of years for me to kind of witness. And when I'm on the other side of the country for my life and I see this, you know, you almost doesn't feel like it's even happening. This time it did, because I know a lot of my family and friends from the East Coast were like, are you okay? Like, what's happening over there? I keep seeing it on the news. That's usually what happens from the big stories. But it's different when you're not here. Do you feel that, first off, that people are helping one another, people are getting involved enough? What can we do now to be a part of the conversation on how to prevent these moving forward? What can we do, right? It's going to happen again. But what can we do now? Now that we're not in the dire moments of the fire, what can we do? What's the next step for us?
I think if you're talking, are you talking about the victims and how we can help the victims?
Yeah, or how to prevent future fires, or what can we do?
Nothing you can do to prevent the future fires, and I'll tell you why. Because they call it urban sprawl.
Right.
We've moved out into wilderness areas, and these things are commonplace in those areas. Can't stop it. It happens. You get lightning storms, or you got utility poles.
It's dry.
You can't prevent it. So all those people are living in areas that were unpopulated before. It's just a fact of life in California.
So it's going to happen again.
Oh, absolutely, it's going
to
happen again.
So we need to manage it so that next time we don't lose lives.
We need to have some game plan in place, like you do for an earthquake. I know exactly what to do during an earthquake. And fires too, because I used to live in a mountain community.
What do you do? What would you do during an earthquake? Because I'm so afraid for that moment. What do you do?
I live by myself, so I wouldn't go to my loved ones. But I stand by a wall.
Like under a doorway?
They used to say that all the time, but they say that's not the best place.
Really?
No. Either that or lie adjacent to a couch. So if the wall or roof collapses, it collapses at an angle over the top of you.
Okay.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or something vertical that if the roof comes down, it collapses and it forms some kind of a cavity where you can breathe. Mm. That kind of thing.
Okay.
I've been through a lot of those things, though.
You have?
Major ones. Major.
And it's freaky.
Very. You can hear it before it gets you.
Really?
Why? If you're attuned to it. I mean, if you've been through one major quake, you'll never forget the sound before it hits.
Really?
Yeah. Because buildings collapsing and the earth cracking and moving, that's pretty noisy.
Oh, my God.
That's right. It's just a big, huge rumble, almost like a storm off in the distance.
And then you know at that point to seek some form of safety.
But that's the only kind of foreknowledge.
And it's not a lot of warning. It's not like you can leave.
No. Less than a minute for sure. Yeah. Less than a minute for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But like, again, you know, most people are not prepared if something like that were to happen. They're just not. They don't know what to do. And I can kind of tell you what I know what to do, but I really don't.
Well, I work with my landlord because she's older and... And I say, this is, you know, we have to have wrenches at the gas meter. We got to know where the power is, the water shut off. I'll take care of all that if I'm here.
Right.
But I might be on the road traveling for business somewhere.
Right.
So I'm not always there, you see.
You need to do the gas shut off. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. But her son-in-law is living with her, so.
Yeah. Well, I hope we don't have to worry about that for a while, but the reality is we live in California, and it is part of living in the California area, or even in Seattle up on the east.
Yes, it is.
West, northwest coast.
That's true.
Major fault lines. And of course, I always fear this, but it's like wherever you are in the world, you're going to have something you're going to deal with.
There's always something.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, tsunamis.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on where you are.
That's true.
Where we are, it's earthquakes and fires.
That's true.
And it stinks.
But you know what? I mean, as far as helping, though, I mean, this is an ongoing thing. And even like we've talked about many times in the past, is that after the catastrophe, give it about 3 or 4 months when the sensationalism is worn off. Because that's basically what it is. Because it's news.
Usually it's like 2 or 3 weeks and then it's worn off.
It steadily degrades
right.
over a period of time for sure. But I mean, what we can do is just kind of keep it in the conversation.
Yeah.
Remember how we can take care of ourselves, ourselves, family, friends, things like that. That helps. Know what to do in an emergency, no matter what it might be.
Right.
Fire and earthquake are, you know, a reality here in California, like you said. And then, of course, you know, for these people, it's going to be an ongoing thing to try and help. And we had a fundraiser that we're, you know, like sponsoring. It's now closed down, I guess. If you go on Facebook, it's probably no longer up there.
Yeah.
Which I was really sad about.
Yeah, I wonder if they got enough funding. Or...
I don't know. Their goal was 20, and they reached about 4 out of the 20, so it doesn't seem so. But I think there is a time limit to those fundraisers,
yeah,
I forgot
cases,
about that.
There is.
And that's too bad, so I'm going to try and find out how I can still help.
Okay.
I don't know how would I do that, to try and
use... Kirkpatrick or something? Or,
well, let's see. Denise Nicole was the one that posted it,
the
fundraiser. She's got an email on Facebook, but I can rarely get on Facebook. But I can do it through the old fundraiser page, I guess. Would that be a way to do it?
Fundraiser, I know.
That sucks, man. I want to.
But I mean, maybe there's reason, though. We just don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out about
that. Okay, that was the Kirkland family.
Yeah, Kirkland. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so running short on time, but next week we should have a very special guest in the studio. We have another guy actually who's been on the show in the past who's supposed to join us this week. But we had to move it off due to some scheduling conflicts for him, for our friend from Monk's Pie.
Right,
Harsh, who's a great dude, and he's a great organization feeding children in India. So they're starving, and like he does it the right way. And we're going to have him back on because they're working on some very cool initiatives, and we're excited to get him back in here. and hopefully give him more people and more traffic to his website so we can feed more children. Mm-hmm. He fed a bunch on our behalf, and it was so cool seeing the kids say, like, thank you, Greg and Larry. Like, we really appreciate this meal. And I was like, oh, my God, this melts my heart. Mm-hmm. But anything you want to add here before we get out of here for the weekend, Larry?
I mean, it's just a general thing that I usually say, but I mean, often we forget about how many hurting people there are out there.
Yeah.
Just kind of keep it in the back of your mind that somebody needs your help, and always look for the opportunity to help somebody. Always look for that opportunity, because it's always going to be there, guaranteed.
I also want to say that when you do, every now and then, you go to do something good, don't look for any thanks.
No,
sometimes
absolutely
do
not.
Make a nice gesture without expecting anything in return. Don't tell anybody you did it.
Good that's point.
Possibly
I
the
like
greatest
that.
Feeling in the world.
Yep.
That you weren't even looking for any kind of attention for what you did. Do like something that. Without anything expected in return. And that will be the greatest giving you've done.
Thank you for saying that, because that's very right. Very cool.
Anyway, thank you, Larry, for everything.
And you too, buddy.
And thanks to everyone who listens to the show each week. We really do appreciate you. And we'll be back again next week, another edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM.